devices. And Ms. Whitmore, would you please do the roll call?
Yes.
Dr. Burt?
Here.
Ms. Crager?
Here.
Ms. Cronus? Absent. Dr. James?
Here.
Mr. Loki?
Here.
Dr. Mosby?
Here.
Ms. Solomon?
Here.
Dr. Wright? You have Warren.
All right, so we'll start off. We'll introduce a new board member, Dr. Craig Mosley. He's joining us on panel today. And then in the audience, observing for the first time, is Dr. Melissa Thompson.
I can't hear at all. Thank you.
You probably have to speak into
it. Okay.
Can you hear me out?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Here you go, Tom.
All right, let's start that again. Introduce our new board members. Dr. Craig Mosley is here with us. Participating today in the audience, observing, Dr. Melissa Thompson. And there she is. All right, so we'll start with initial investigative reviews. And first up is case 2205, Tracy Winters summary.
Yes.
Chair, did you want us to approach?
Not yet.
Okay. Give me 1 second. Case 2205, the complaint is anonymous. And the respondent is Michael K. Mandy M. On July 12, 2021, the warrant office received applications that respond to those contained group restrictions for controlled substances for personal use through his pets. Pets that did not remain correctly investigated can wait for the prosecution board.
Okay, then the respondent in attendance, and then you come forward. Okay. And you have taught this to the board.
Thank you, Chair Loki, members of the board. I'm enjoying our AV system. So far. Yeah. Can everyone on the phone hear me? We're getting a lot of feedback. I can hear myself.
I know. It's going to be a long day.
Okay. Are you getting solid in here?
It's breaking up a little.
I can hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. Proceed.
All right. Very briefly, members of the board, this is a case in which the allegations are supported by evidence. In relation to the claim in the complaint that there was an assault, it's a situation in which Dr. K.M. was asleep and his girlfriend woke him up and attempted to start a confrontation. There was a, he handled this appropriately with the board in his reporting obligations. Turning to the allegations of misuse of drugs, there's absolutely no evidence of this. We provided the medical records for all of his pets. There's no misuse of any medications. He was using another vet in his practice to treat his pets as well, which is obviously the best practice for vets. We also showed that he has absolutely no arrests or charges for anything involving any kind of substance. We provided you drug tests. Essentially, everything that we could provide you shows that there is no drug or misuse of prescription issue in this case. So we'd suggest this is a good dismissal matter. There's just no evidence here.
Thank you. And we have no complaint present.
Sorry,
sorry, I need to get you guys off team. So this is page 2205, and quite honestly, in reading through everything that had been submitted, I mean, it certainly sounds like it was a very emotional and highly volatile situation. But I don't see anything that really specifically relates to the private sector, the concern about the use of drugs, but we have that described from another veterinarian, two specific tests that have conditions that relate to the use of those medications. It is certainly a long history of that, but I don't have any reason to say that I don't believe that was, you know, a legitimate use. And so I'm going to recommend at this point that we find no violations of our practice act of rules.
I would second that.
Okay, motion for a second, find no violations. Is there any discussion? I just had one question for staff, I guess, since I didn't look it up. Is an NRGS update report?
And I apologize because I just sat down, Mr. Lookie, so I don't know if Tracy was listening to the conversation. I don't know what the question is or what the case is.
Okay.
The position portal, I'm not sure whether it worked or not, but it wasn't reported to the board.
Yeah. You gave me the.
In the top, right?
In the top.
Yeah, and chair, it is a reportable offense, and so we did our typical 32-32-8 disclosure. And so just from a time perspective, we disclosed it, and then the complaint disclosed it, but we didn't meet the requirement.
Okay. And I don't have a question on that. Any other discussion? Motion on the floor to dismiss, 2205. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And motion passes, and case is dismissed.
Thank you.
Any for any other day? Next up, we have the host. Case 2107, Tracy, could you read this summary, please?
Yes, case 21137, the complaint is Bonnie Navarro. The respondent is Janelle Stummer, DVM. On April 24th, 2021, Jake Avery wrote to you that Dwellings were presented to respondent for a wellness exam. The doctor examined, responded that the doctor had a mild, far lateral view of the fatal tongues and reported her findings to the complaint. The complaint was adamant that the dog had no issue prior to the dog bringing the dog to the respondent. She believed staff injured the dog while performing the after and a sanitary clip. On June 14, 2021, the dog was evaluated by Dr. Murphy at Paradise Boy Animal Hospital, and it was suspected that the dog had a partial cranial cruciate ligament rupture. A referral to a surgeon was recommended. On June 29th, 2021, the dog was evaluated by Dr. Benson at Ord Ranch Animal Hospital. Dr. Benson suspected right medial telepaxation, recommended fluvoxamine, and provided a prescription for meloxicam. The committee concluded that no violations of the veterinary practice had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
So, 2137, we have numerous respondents. Mr. Schultz, auditor?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we have the complainant. Mr. Chair, of the board?
Yes.
Please come forward.
Yes.
Please state your name for the record.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Bonnie Darrow.
Thank you. And you get 5 minutes to address the board.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm a public speaker, so I have a little thing that I wrote, but I really appreciate your time and hearing me today. I feel like I need to speak on behalf of my dog, Jade. And what happened and what transpired by Dr. Scar and the vet tech when I took Jade in for a routine checkup. I feel it's very important that I speak up for Jay since she can't speak up for herself. She's a sweet, wonderful girl, but a high level feeder dog, so she runs away towers or hives. I explained this to the vet tech when he came to my car to pick her up and asked him to be very, very gentle with her. I asked him to trim her nails and to trim her long hair under her tail. She was very strong, healthy, and agile when I took her in. Dr. Starr came out to talk to me after the exam, telling me that Jay had knee problems and she had no prior knee problems before I took her in. Dr. Starr and I also discussed her fears and medications to help her relax, not for that day, but for future use. She went on to say that vet techs were working on Jay inside the clinic then, while she and I were talking at my car. A different vet tech than the one who had picked Jay up brought her back to my car sometime later. When he handed her to me, he said specifically, and I quote, "She went berserk, so we held her down until she gave in and submitted." These are not words that any of you would likely forget if they had been spoken to you. I immediately wrote them down when I got home. This is excessive use of force on a sweet, gentle, but fearful dog in a non-emergency and non-dangerous situation. When I got home, Jane was looking in pain and totally terrorized. She laid in one spot and wouldn't move for a long time, just terrified, wide-eyed. I also noticed and had evidence that instead of just trimming a little hair from under her tail with scissors, they held her down and forcefully shaved her butt with no anesthesia. This is a case of excessive use of force in a non-danger, non-emergency situation. This is horrendous use to an already extremely fearful dog. It is inappropriate use of force, unprofessional, abusive, and totally unethical veterinary practice. This kind of treatment should never be allowed, accepted, nor tolerated in a veterinary clinic. However, not only was it allowed, accepted, and tolerated by Dr. Starr, but she made every attempt to cover it up, as I will explain. I went back later and explained to her what happened, what the vet tech had said to me. She said that she was not there when they were working on my dog, but she would inquire about it. I also asked that the manager call me about the situation. The manager didn't call for 2 days, but when she did call, she said that Dr. Starr had told her that she was in the room with the vet techs when they were working on Jay and that nothing inappropriate happened. Two opposite stories that Dr. Starr told. In conclusion, the vet tech and possibly Dr. Starr used unnecessary use of force and abuse and created pain and terror in my dog and more fear. Unnecessarily. It was not an emergency, and they could have easily and more ethically brought her back to me and said she wouldn't cooperate today. Let's try again another day. Dr. Starr attempted to cover it up with no concern whatever for my dog. Neither she nor the manager expressed any concern for my dog. It is my understanding and my feeling that they engaged in misrepresentation, deceit, and violated the principles of medical ethics. And under the principles of veterinary medical ethics under professional behavior, it said veterinarians should first consider the needs of the patient to relieve disease, suffering, or disability while minimizing pain or fear. Baby steps that veterinarians should, and I'm skipping some of it, they should not engage in fraud, misrepresentation, or deceit. This kind of treatment should never be allowed or tolerated. When I went to the review committee hearing, several of the veterinarians expressed concern about this kind of treatment to a pet. However, they went on to say that it would never be tolerated. Well, it was tolerated by Dr. Starr and attempted to be covered up, as she told me just the opposite of what she told her manager. I ask you humbly, even if you dismiss this case, that you become aware of this abuse and that you consider, for the sake of other pets and pet owners, to require that doctors overseeing the veterinary technicians ensure that the vet techs follow humane guidelines and protocols, and that veterinary technicians be required to be trained and certified in the state of Arizona in order to ensure that excessive use of force is not used in non-danger, non-emergency situations, and to assure the highest and best quality of humane and compassionate treatments of the pets in their care. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Can you step back?
Yes.
Mr. Loki, Dr. James is about the call.
All right, so let me show Dr. James is about the call, and then also let me show Dr. Wright is here now. I think you can report your Dr. Byrne, you will be the next case.
Yes, after reviewing the medical records of the three veterinarians that I think Dan and Jamie, that the only consistent that I know is the same to the last day will tell us the first, second, and third, and that the all of you will have to be general versus traumatic. So I would agree with the investigative committee and make a motion to dismiss the violation.
Second. Okay. Motion on the floor, second, to dismiss 2137. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Jane Solomon. I have a quick question of Dr. Byrne or any other VVM that's present at the board. The committee stated that lactating, in their conclusions, that lactating patella cannot be created. It is impossible, and I'm quoting, it is impossible for a person to cause a patella lactation. However, they will get worse with time. Do you concur?
Maybe some of my other compadres can speak to this, but the lactating patella is due to the fact that the groove or the patella and other ones running this is not of an adequate height, so it tends to pop out. So, running in some sort of movement could make it pop out, but the underlying etiology is going to be the congenital shortness of that trope curvature that allows that to really pop out a little bit immediately.
Thank you.
Can I add to that, Brian?
Yeah.
This is Ted Buck.
Yeah.
All right, seeing no further discussion, the motion on the floor is to dismiss 2137. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes 2137 is dismissed. Thank you for participating today. Next up is,
real quick before we start, is it Dr. Jane Koff?
She's not here.
Okay.
She's a mom.
Okay.
All right, so we're on to number 2224. Here's your summary, please.
Yes. Case 2224, the complaint is Irina Gafford. The respondent is Larry Pudgett, DCM. On September 4th, 2021, Sophie, a 9-year-old female complaint, was presented to respondent for continued diarrhea. A GI program was submitted to Texas A&M University due to the holiday weekend, the sample was not received by the lab until September 9th. On September 14th, 2021, the day the complaint was filed, respondent received the results and relayed them to the pet owner. Complainant expressed concern that respondent did not want to give her the dog's results because he did not like her ethnicity. And this matter did not go to the investigative committee. I brought it directly to the board for their disposition.
All right, we have respondent here in person. Did you want to address the board? You're Dr. Hunt.
Yeah, Dr. Hunt. Can I take this off so you can hear?
Absolutely. Who's taking it from the writer?
I'm sorry?
Who's taking it from the writer?
Larry Hoffman.
Thank you. And are you identified as the rest of the board? This lady has blown up on multiple occasions, screaming, yelling, and at different appointments, saying she was going to sue us, take us to the board. We didn't give her her results on the A&R profile. And at times when she's up for it, we could send it out over the weekend, so we had to send it out Monday, which turned out to Tuesday day to get the result. She was told the results by my office manager that the labs were good, they called within normal levels, and every time that she tends to talk to anybody, it is always yelling. And it's, in my way, I want to put my staff under something that's what I'm not a racist, like she thinks I am. We tried to talk to her multiple times, and we did what we should, and the records are there that show everything, that's what we have said. So that's about as good as I can tell. I think we did what we should medically, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you. Just at that,
yes, sir.
Ms. Krieger, you are the lead.
For Mickey. So, Dr. Hunt, thank you for coming today because this case was frustrating for me. You could tell just from the first appointment she went to that she was planning to file a board complaint about anything or everything. And I certainly did not see anything wrong in this case. I think she was being unreasonable. And I don't think there was any way to truly meet her expectations. I knew her claim of, filing a complaint because she felt like, staff were racist. I just don't see any evidence. She didn't get any evidence to the basis of the claim office. So with that, I would make a motion to dismiss case 2224.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor and a second to dismiss 2224. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. That case is dismissed. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you all. You have a good day.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Next up, we have 2129. Tracy, this is summary, please.
Yes, case 21-29. The complainant is Rita Richards. The respondent is Jeffrey Arthur, DVM. On December 31st, 2020, W, a 16-year-old male domestic lawyer cat, was seen by respondent for lethargy, anorexia, and weight loss. Respondent examined the cat. Nothing significant was identified. Therefore, blood work was performed, and the cat was administered an injection of sirena. Complainant attempted to call respondent to get blood results without success. On January 5th, 2021, respondent returned complainant's call to discuss the blood results and recommend a dental procedure. Respondent was sent complainant an estimate for the procedure. Complainant never received this estimate. The cat continued to get worse. Complainant's calls and text messages went unanswered by respondent. On January 8th, 2021, the complainant presented the cat to an emergency facility after evaluation. The cat was humanely euthanized. The committee concluded that possible violations of the veterinary practice act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board finding interest 13/22/32/11, gross negligence, any professional misconduct or unreasonable lack of professional skill in the performance of professional practice or lack of communication that resulted in unnecessary suffering of the cat and the severe frustration of the pet owner. And errors 32/22/32/18 as it relates to R311/502B, the responsible veterinarian shall ensure that a notice of where veterinary services may be obtained when veterinary medical premises is not open for business. One is method of voicemail of the veterinary medical premises, and two contains the name, telephone number, and address of the veterinarian or veterinary medical premises that is available to provide veterinary medical services. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
All right, we have respondent versus no complaint, no counsel. Dr. Burns, do you want to do your best for it? Please take me for the record.
Jeffrey Arthur.
Thank you. And we don't require you to ask about your comfort, whichever you're comfortable with, you're fine. And then you have to find it as the rest of the board.
Okay.
Good morning. I want to start by saying that I care about my clients and my patients very deeply. I take any failures on my part seriously and very personally. I know my ability to communicate at that time let down this client and this patient. I take that home with me every day. I believe everyone. I did a complete physical exam on the patient and was not eating and had lost some weight. On the physical exam, we only find this significant work periodontal disease. With the owner's approval, we drew his blood to look for things like diabetes, renal disease, and we did a median injection at the time. It was New Year's Eve when we dropped off the blood. We expected some delay due to the holidays and told the owner that it might take 2 or 5 days because we had to drop it off the very end of the lot. I got on a calendar at that time and I didn't expect to be exhausted faster than that soon. I did have an email, but I must have overlooked the email that I was given, or overlooked the results that I got back. When I called the owner, we spoke for about 45 minutes, discussed the lab in detail, which did not point to a overall definitive cause. The owner said the patient hadn't changed much at that point. At this point, we discussed having dental issues was a known issue that we could address, but there were a number of other issues that were unknown, potentially like new lesions or cancer. This would require further diagnostics, such as x-ray and ultrasound. The owner decided to get a dental assent, and I told my manager to descend. Can you hear me?
Yes, that's frustrating. Can you hear the...
I'm sorry. Neurologically, you can't process conversation. I mean, there's speech jammer programs to do this where it delays the words by a fraction of a second, and your brain just can't process it. This is not conducive.
Well, let me just jump in and update without trying to echo. If I sit real far back, it kind of helps. The medical board has IT staff,
they've been called, their IT person is working from home today, but he's driving in to deal with this problem. I just don't know when he'll be here.
Yeah, I understand.
So I don't know if we want to try to.
Well, but they can't hear on the phone, I thought. We weren't speaking directly into it.
Yeah.
They literally can hear us, even though we can hear each other still really loudly, but I mean, can you guys hear me right now? I speak louder than.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I hear, I can hear testimony. And I mean, the echo is just massive in my head. I can't understand the words randomly.
Dr. Arthur, why don't you go ahead and try speaking far and away from the mic and see if that will help.
Sorry, I'm not helping.
My voice shaking is going in here, so. The day after talking to the owner, I was told that my father's ashes had recently died, was ready a few days earlier than expected, and so.
No, you're not.
I just wanted to ask so that we didn't keep going and. Because you're leaving it, so that's why.
I can't process like this.
Maybe if you could, Dr. Arthur, if it goes to you, would that be helpful?
Possibly. I mean, if they can still hear our phones going on, just, like, even with my voice, is the echo messing up.
Well, who's on the phone right now?
Jane.
So, I'm sorry, Jane, but what if we just.
Yeah, we still have a form otherwise.
Pull away from Jane.
But I can't do this.
Can we do something with Jane on the phone, like put Jane on a cell phone and.
And then we can.
Put a microphone to the cell phone. Maybe we can try that.
Jane?
Is it the phone that's missing?
That could be for the.
No phone that's missing.
It's.
Because we can hear each other. If we can push these.
Jane, we just try to hear each other's ear.
Yeah.
Right, she can't hear on the phone.
Okay.
As long as we can hear each other, we can move these back and we can all speak loudly, right?
Exactly, because I said, if we didn't have, yeah, if we didn't have these, then we're better. It's just the echo. Yeah.
And we just have to talk really loud. I can still.
Yeah, there's still a little bit of echo, but it's not as bad as it was.
All back.
Do you want to call Jane and just have her speak as well?
Let's try.
There's no way to turn them off.
So Jane, we're going to disconnect you right now and we're going to call you back. We're going to call you. No, I guess we should. So we'll just see if we can get Jane on a cell phone and hold her up to the microphone so that she can hear. But if Mr. Lundy, I'm going to let you make the call. If Jane can't hear, Ms. Krager may be right. I mean, you have five here.
Yeah, who will we get accepted?
She might be off the hook for a while at least until we.
We'll get her back.
Yeah.
I think she's not really going to hear.
Thanks to the night club. Give me access to the sound system, I can fix it.
Yeah, she got it.
Oh, maybe it doesn't even come.
I might volunteer. I don't represent the doctor in this case, but he did send me a copy of his statement that you could read as he was reading it.
I'd be totally open to anything, like I said.
Well, I think we need to get Jane on the phone first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm texting her.
Hi, Jane, it's Tracy. Okay. Not yet. Let me put you on speaker, okay? Jane, can you hear me?
Okay,
give me one second. I'm going to put you up to the speaker and let me know if you can hear our board members. And Dr. Arthur is going to be speaking.
Okay, thank you.
Because he pushes microphone.
I'm not doing this.
You can't, you should be, the microphone should be fine now. It's just when the, when it's on the phone is when you can't hear.
Okay.
So the microphones you are, should be okay to use.
Can you hear me?
I don't hear Nico.
Okay. So you can, Dr. Arthur, you can speak into the microphone.
So it was literally because we're on the phone?
Yes. It's the phone that was causing it.
It was like, man.
No more phone.
Okay. Is it echoing now?
No.
No, we're good now. All right. Sorry for being difficult, but I was like, I could not.
And sorry, you know, we're prolonging here.
I have to say, if Doctor, there's somebody else speaking, I think it's Dr. Wright, and he is echoing.
Well, it's only echoing for you, not all of us.
Strongly worded letter, Alexander Graham Bell. His phone is not.
All right, so let's let the doctor continue.
Well, and Mr. Mogul, members of the board, I apologize for interrupting, but Dr. Wright, would you like him to start from the beginning?
If, I hate to say it, but if at all possible, just so we can have everything on the record, yeah.
Thank you.
Need a glass of water or anything?
Sorry, I promise we're not scary, so take a breath.
Or if Mr. Sol would like to read it for Dr. Wright?
Sorry. I do have a fear of public speaking, so I know this isn't a lot of people, but to me it feels like it.
It's okay. Take your time.
Good morning. I wanted to start by saying that I do care about my clients and my patients deeply. I take any failures on my part seriously and personally. I know my ability to communicate at that time let down this client and this patient. I take that home with me every day. I believe everyone has some understanding of the case, obviously. So I did a complete physical exam on the patient who was not eating well and had lost weight. I did a physical exam. Only a significant finding was periodontal disease. With the owner's approval, we drew some blood to look for common diseases such as renal disease, diabetes, and did a convenient injection. It was New Year's Eve at the time, and when we dropped off the blood, we expected some delay due to the holidays and told the owners that the owner that it could take 2 to 5 days depending. At that time, I went out of town and did not expect any results for a few days. I did have my email, but I did not see any email, so I overlooked any email for results until I got back. When I called the owner, we spoke for about 45 minutes, discussed the lab work in detail, which did not point to a definitive cause. The owner said that the patient had not changed much since the initial exam. At this point, we discussed that dental issues was a known issue that we could address and can cause symptoms like we were seeing especially in geriatric patients. We discussed that there were also possible unknown issues like neoplasia or cancer. This would require further diagnostics such as an x-ray and ultrasound, and the owner asked for a dental estimate, which I told my manager to send her. The next day, I was told that my father's ashes, who had recently died, were ready a few days earlier than expected. So we decided to close for a couple of days so our family could grieve and have the memorial. I missed the attempts from the owner to call for blood work, and I don't know the details after that at the other clinic. In January, February, prior to knowing that there was a complaint, we made numerous changes due to this case. We understood the importance of these issues. We hired 3 part-time workers to help lighten the load of our hospital manager, who was doing the job of multiple people. They helped double check messages and have improved communications with clients, including days that we are closed. Lab work is no longer only sent to my email, but it's also sent to the vendor's email and the business official email. This is to help it from being overlooked. All finalized lab work and x-rays are sent directly to the owner's email to ensure that they always have a copy if needed. And we've changed our voicemail system so it's easier to change things quickly in cases of closure, emergency, or other causes. I have been carrying this case and its failures with me every day since then. I wish I could go back and tell myself to check my email and focus on the lab work, or change the voicemail or have my phone on me through the memorial. I wish I heard the emails, and I wish I had blood lab work sent, because even if the blood work would not have helped in the overall outcome, it did cause unnecessary stress and frustration. And I can't fix what has happened, but I can only go forward with the changes that I've made. That's it.
Sorry. Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here today. We had no complaint present, no council representing, and Dr. Byrne, you are the lead.
Yes, so after reading the case and going over the medical records, it seems to me it was basically just a lot of miscommunication. And the fact that there was a holiday weekend over New Year's, which I believe was on a Friday, and the 5th was on a Tuesday, the long weekend with the holiday made the communication situation worse. I do think there needs to be some accountability for making sure that there is either a message change or, if nothing else, maybe an answering service that calls are forwarded to when you're not in or available. So I would make a motion to issue a letter of concern in regards to the communication or lack of communication that was left intact for the holiday weekend.
You know, I think I would probably support that as well. I appreciate you coming here today, because sometimes just hearing directly from the complainant or the respondent really kind of helps us honestly to decide which direction to go into. And I appreciate that you took ownership of the mistake. You know, I can kind of go both ways. This one was interesting because I've been in your shoes when my mom passed away, so I understand that you're kind of tuned out. And you know, this owner, I feel like she placed a lot of, I don't know what the word is right now, but she's really trying to get in touch specifically with you and hoping that, you know, but ultimately we have an older cat here that could have had a whole lot of issues. So I really feel, you know, bad for this pet owner too, and I don't really know if a few days could have changed the outcome for this cat, though either I'm not the vet on the board. But again, nonetheless, I appreciate that, you know, your explanation and the changes that you've made. When I read the gross negligence, I don't know, I wasn't quite there myself. And again, we know though how important it is for, you know, messages to be forwarded, or, you know, so that there is some response for, again, for people that maybe just don't know what direction to go in, just need to be told by an answering machine, please call an emergency vet. So I appreciate that. But yeah, that's, I guess
we're discussing without a second. Yeah.
What's that?
We're discussing without a second.
I think you seconded. Okay. Maybe I just assumed.
I think I seconded it.
I thought I heard
added my commentary.
All right, so the motion on the floor, second, is to a letter of concern.
I mean, a letter of concern is a non-disciplinary thing, but this was what, 6 days? I mean, 6 days? Is that what we're concerned about? I mean, that's not long. I mean, even medical records, I know we've had discussions about this in the past, in the statute. Correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm interpreting this wrong, but it's 10 days for the non-critical to submit records.
Right.
So we're well within that legal statute already. I mean, 6 days is not that long, especially right now. I mean, I sent off a sample to the lab, and it took them 10 days to tell me that they hadn't even started running it yet. I mean, this is, I don't know. I mean, letter of concern, sure, it's non-disciplinary, but I don't know if 6 days is that.
Well, I think it was just because the owner was reaching
out. Are concerns too much or too little?
I think that's a little too much, because, like, what kind of standard are we trying to set here, saying how fast? I mean,
she was reaching out saying
when I was 28, and it took them 2 weeks to even tell me that I had cancer.
Right. I think it was because the owner kept reaching out saying, my cat's getting worse, what should I do?
I find that after being in the room for 15 minutes, is that because I'm taking too long? Is that a letter of concern? I mean, I don't know if we can have the client putting a standard on us that our statutes don't even have. So, I mean, I know a letter of concern is non-disciplinary, and it's just saying, hey, we need to watch this, but I don't even know if 6 days is even concerning to me.
Yeah, I didn't really have an issue with the medical component of it. My issue was a bit more, if you left town on New Year's Eve, which is fine to do, if you're a single practitioner, you leave town, but you ought to be able to, if someone calls your office and needs to go somewhere to say, you know, I'm either not here, go somewhere else or not. And that was my issue.
You do have to have some sort of.
Yeah, we're not saying that it's not on his recording, right?
It wasn't.
It wasn't on the recording.
There was no recording.
There was a recording, it just didn't say that I was out of town.
Right.
It just,
so it's
but did it say who you refer emergencies to? Because that's what the statute relays is. This is who, you need a phone number for where to send emergency. You don't need to say, this is my schedule. I'm going to Sprouts to buy some apples right now. I mean, you don't have to tell your clients that kind of stuff.
I believe at the time it just said your local emergency clinic. Being mobile, I go all the way from Fountain Hills to Buckeye. So I didn't choose one at the time.
So not a specific one. So, okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, the statute needs a specific, is that?
Yes.
So, I mean, and that's, I understand the argument there. That's actually not something I thought about with mobile in the past. How do you refer to one specific one? I think you still have to.
You have to, and then we recommend that you say, and say, or go to the one nearest you.
Yeah, which is how I always kind of say my stuff. I have a brick and mortar. So, I mean, if we're going to have a letter of concern, I'd be more putting it around that, because at least that's in statute. But the 6 days thing, I'm having a hard time just being like, you need to do that. I don't know, that's just
I'm not having an issue with communication with the client. I'm having an issue that when a client called, that she was adequately informed if she needed an immediate option, what that was.
Right, because again, she was waiting, thinking that this vet who had just seen her pet would give her advice as far as should she go somewhere else, or is the cat gonna get better, is he doing worse?
And I agree on that, but it's again,
relying too much on him, but again.
But what is the standard of when do you have to call someone back? That's the answer I need before I can say, yeah, that's a concern to me. And I don't know if 6 days is a concern to me. It's like, okay, again, like I said, I draw parallels to human medicine. We're holding ourselves to a huge standard.
True.
That human medicine is not even nearly held to.
I think you're arguing the point that wasn't the motion. The motion is the letter of concern is the voicemail. If there was not a voicemail that followed the rule.
And was that the letter of concern itself? Sorry, I thought I was under the impression the letter of concern was more on how long it took to communicate back with the client.
No, the communication
was just on the
answering machine.
Just the statute that says you have to have a specific place. Okay, I'm sorry, I thought it was communication was where the issue was, and I was like, I don't know if that's
I used the word communication, but it was more
in
the line of communication. The miscommunication due to the him not being in town and her calling and not getting a concise.
Okay, yeah, because I can support a letter of concern for, again, not following what the statute says on inspection.
Yeah, I thought the blood work was unremarkable on the vet, you know, that was.
Okay, yeah, so I can do it specifically around we need to have a specific emergency clinic to refer to, even if we're mobile, what's the one that we'd say you need to go to or your closest one, that's just kind of the wording. So I can do a letter of concern around that because that is more in statute. I want to make sure it's not involving the actual communication portion. So I just want to clarify that then. That's me. I didn't second anything.
Okay, it's my time to have a plug in straight.
Okay, cool.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Ms. Long.
I'll be abstaining from the vote because I could not hear most of what was said. The only one I could hear fairly clearly most of the time was Ms. Krieger.
She's a famous way from microphone.
All right, so let's record show Ms. Solomon's going to sustain from this vote. I didn't see the gross negligence recommendation at all. I don't know where that came from. And from reading through things, I thought there was nothing on the machine, right? Just leave a voicemail.
Yeah.
Hi, this is so-and-so, leave your name and number. But if there was something about going to an emergency, but it didn't specifically address, okay, it has to be a specific, and here's their phone number, and here's their address, or whatever is supposed to be there in the rule. So if you didn't follow the rule, then, you know, that's... So I'm leaning more towards a, since there was something there, it wasn't just, hi, please leave me a message, it was, we're closed, seek out emergency help. It was not specific, so technically didn't follow the rule, so I'm good with a letter of concern versus finding a violation.
Okay, let's vote.
So real quick, can we talk about that a little bit afterwards, or at least agendize that to discuss that maybe a little bit more? Because that's a caveat I never thought about in the rules, like mobile practice, how do you address that with emergency here? I don't know if anybody else has any concerns about that.
Most of the people that I deal with, they're mobile, have a answering service if it's out of hours.
So, and you don't need to refer as long as you're using an answering service?
Well, okay.
So, I guess that's... So,
there's an exemption for livestock. You don't have to have an address or whatever. True. You have to have just a phone number.
But I guess maybe it's worth agendizing in the future to talk about when we talk about rule stuff.
Absolutely.
I essentially just chose one in the middle of my area, and that's what mine says now.
Okay, so that's what it says now. It didn't at that time.
It didn't at that time. It just said your local.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not supposed to ask questions. I apologize.
Sorry.
All right, seeing no further discussion, the motion on the floor is to issue a letter of concern and not find violation concerning the voicemail, which has since been corrected. Any other discussion? Since we're doing something versus dismissing, let's do your roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Mr. Logie?
Aye.
Dr. Nasmi?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon is abstained, and Dr. Wright is an aye. The motion carries.
Issue letter of concern in case 21-129. Thank you for being here today, and I hope that after you've seen all this, we don't bite again or scratch.
And it's like I'm not coming
you'll
back.
Much more comfortable. And I invite you to come back and see us when you don't have to be here. When you don't have to be here.
There's lots of chairs out
there. We can hang out. Okay.
Thank you very much for your participation today.
Thank you.